Another aspect of the deeper realizations are not to put it off. And this is always something that comes up around this time of year in our moksha ritual. The idea that we sometimes put off having the deeper realizations by feeling we're not ready. I'm not ready. I'm too imperfect. I have all these flaws. Therefore, I can't possibly have these realizations today. We put them off into the future by our own self-concepts about ourselves. But that isn't necessary, and Gurudeva certainly didn't teach that, that if you have this problem, and this problem, you're not ready for a deeper realization. Well, he didn't say that at all. He said, go in as deeply as you can. Strive to realize the self. Claim it as your true nature. So if we work at it in a diligent way, maybe we'll have that realization today. Why wait till tomorrow? Why put it off? Moving on to another topic in our lesson of the day. There are three things we must do. Perform or attend puja every day in the home. Attend the temple once a week and make a pilgrimage once a year. These three are the foundation of our Saiva Siddhanta. Plus, for those who are able, meditation and certain sadhanas are part of this worship. External worship builds a vibration within us, and that vibration is taken within into deep meditation. Internalizing the worship in worshiping God and the gods within you and contacting them within the higher chakras until you realize that you also have always been the all-pervasive energy that pervades the universe. So I think we had a nice example of that last night, night before last, for Mahashivaratri, we had a nice external worship, powerful external worship, and could see how the vibration was so strong and the sense of loving God that was generated through that external worship was so strong that you couldn't help but turn within. And it was like the next step was so natural. That successful and powerful external worship naturally turns you within to internal worship. It's a natural process, a natural thing to do next. As Gurudeva says in his lessons, one of the best times to meditate is after the puja. Why is that? Because it's so natural, it's so easy. It's like going from one chakra to the next. We're right here, and we just go up a little bit, and we're meditating very profoundly. We notice that also in India. We just came back from a pilgrimage to India, and had a group of 90 people, and some of them had never been to the temples in India before, and they certainly had powerful experiences, and some of them are emailing in and sharing some of their thoughts and coming back to the Western world. And one of them came in recently and was talking about Madurai Meenakshi Temple and saying how she and her husband were just so filled with the love of God and bliss there, they couldn't believe it. And it's just a very, very powerful experience, something they've never experienced like that before in their whole life. And so it shows that, you know, what external worship can do. It can really create a powerful experience of love of God that naturally can deepen into inner meditation. One of the nice themes that Gurudeva develops in living with Shiva is the home shrine room. It goes in detail into describing the home shrine room and how ideally every home has a separate room that's dedicated as a shrine room. It's just not a corner in the hallway or a closet in the bedroom, but ideally we have a separate room, and if we're able to have a separate room as a shrine room, then it can build up more spiritual power. And it can if it's not separate. It can really bring the blessings that we receive from the temple into the home. That's the idea of why Gurudeva says you need the two factors working together, the daily worship in the home shrine and then going to the temple once a week. So going to the temple once a week helps us strengthen the shrine room, keep it alive on a regular basis. And also having a major pilgrimage once a year does the same thing even more. So the shrine room and the local temple work together in a very nice inner way, particularly when the shrine is a separate room. And one of the topics on the inner search, we went through the yamas and niyamas, the 10 basic restraints and 10 basic observances of Hinduism. And one of the niyamas is Ishvara Pujana, worship of the Lord, which focuses on doing puja in the home. And one of the points I made, I hadn't really thought about it before, but it came out in presenting the material, was what Ishvara Pujana is encouraging you to do is to turn your home into a temple and become the priest in your own temple, which is your home. You know, it's a very interesting idea. And how many religions do the devotees become a priest in their own temple? You know, probably not very many. Certainly Hinduism qualifies, and that's the goal, is to learn how to do the Atmartha Puja, and do it well, and do it in your home, and thereby create the vibration of a temple in your home through doing the puja. So it's a very interesting part of Hindu practice. Moving on to the sutra, my devotees practice the ancient rite of sending prayers to the devas and gods through the sacred fire, but only during auspicious times at church missions and temples designated by the preceptor. So this is very interesting practice that Gurudeva gives us of writing prayers and burning them, and it's a wonderful way of communicating with the inner worlds. And one of the ways that Gurudeva taught the monks to look at this practice is to make the devas a partner in your life. In other words, the inner plane beings are there, and to share your life with them, just like you would with your friends. And talk it over and keep them informed as to what's going on. And if you share your life on a regular basis with them, then they can help, because they're familiar with what you're doing, and they particularly can help when you're making important decisions or important changes in your life. So, one of the problems is that sometimes devotees aren't consistent in this practice. And sometimes the problem lies in the really big decisions, they don't use the practice at all. Just go and make the big decision. Okay, we're moving from California to Florida. Just do it. They don't even share the fact with the devas ahead of time or ask for guidance and suggestions as to if this is a good practice or not. So the point I'm leading up to is that it's a useful practice and it's good to be consistent at it. Particularly for large decisions, make sure you're sharing them all with the inner worlds and seeking their blessings and help. And one of the principles Gurudeva gives us is to think ahead. In other words, sometimes we don't plan ahead enough. Something's happening today, so we send a note for blessings and help on it. But Gurudeva's guidance is that you need to work 72 hours ahead of time. In other words, plan 3 days ahead, and at least 3 days ahead if you're writing notes to the devas and asking for help and blessings and support in your life. And the reason for that is that there's a time delay, that an action happens in the inner worlds but doesn't happen here for 72 hours, was the way Gurudeva explained it. And the simple way I have of understanding that is to think of the stars. When you're looking up at the stars and you're looking into the past, there's a time delay. In the case of the stars, it's a long time delay. But what you're seeing is really the past. And it took a certain amount of time to get to Earth. So there's a time delay. Something happens on a star and you see it quite a while later. So similarly, something happens in the inner worlds and it comes to this plane with a time delay. So we need to plan ahead for 72 hours at least. There's a nice section on bells in today's lesson. The great devas or gods visit temples and participate in keeping the darshan vibration going strong. They help the satgurus too. They help the disciples of the satgurus by giving a wonderful psychic protection. They can usually be contacted by ringing a bell. So, in many temples, Hindu temples, you go in and the first thing you do is ring the bell, right? There's a bell right there near the shrine. In fact, we have a bell down at our Ganesha shrine. And why do you ring the bell? Well, you're letting the inner worlds know you're there. They can hear the bell. They know someone's there and they pay attention and send blessings. So the bell is getting their attention. The bell is one of the things that penetrates in vibration into the Akasha. Of other religions, you know, the bell and the flame are very common to all of them. Bells are rung at the beginning of service or at the high points of various services and various religions, as well as the flame is used inside in some way on the altar. So Gurudev is pointing out that it's no accident that these elements are used, because the bell and the flame, the bell can be heard and the flame can be seen from the inner worlds, and helps attract and hold spiritual beings from the inner worlds in the temple or church-like structure so they can bless the people. Have a wonderful day.